You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the emergency edition of Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host, publisher of Bison Report for CBS Sports, Ross Uglow. Off of a trip to Wells Fargo. He's our men's basketball. Castro. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
A little tired after the long trip, but it was good to be back in Fargo. Got to see a great game, great performance from NDSU, and obviously a little bit to talk about here today with some discipline stuff and what happened after, but don't want that to take away from being back in Fargo, having a great time and watching a great win.
Yeah, it was a hell of a game. Had to rein you in a little bit, had to calm you down, had to remind you, you know, that you were a press pass carrying member of the media twice, you know, but it's all right. It happens, you know. Fun stuff, by the way. We've got Tim Hill, a writer and contributor for the Reach the Summit podcast. Tim is a former assistant, a former video coordinator, did a bunch of stuff for Coach Nagy at South Dakota State, and is now covering Oral Roberts, actually, for the Reach the Summit media group. And so we're very, very excited to have Tim on in a little bit. But, we need to, chat about, I guess, what happened. And I think we should get into that first, because we'll get into the game. And I think we can even get into the game part of it and just, not talk about what happened afterwards, after we have Tim on. And then, like I said, we can discuss this, have Tim on, have his, the Oral Roberts end of it, and then really get into the game after that. I think that's going to be the easiest format, because we're going unscripted right now. You know, this is, like I said, emergency pod. We just got the ruling from the Summit League, and I am going to, I am going to go ahead and read their release, I guess, if you will. The Summit League released a statement and has announced discipline for the incident involving coaches, staff, and student athletes that occurred following the Oral Roberts North Dakota State game on February 17th. This is Commissioner-elect Josh Fenton. He's a hockey guy. Did some something with, I think, Division I hockey. I don't follow that at all. But he was something about when, like, UND split off from the WCHA, and the whole Big Ten thing happened. Whatever conference they started, I think he might have been the commissioner of or something like that. But anyway, he's a hockey guy. Unfortunately, the incident following the ORU-NDSU hockey game on February 17th fell well short of our conduct expectations for coaches, staff, and student athletes. The actions of all those involved do not reflect our shared values or meet our conduct standards that we have in place. Following a full review of the situation and pursuant to the policy on unsportsmanlike conduct, the Summit League has issued a letter of reprimand and a maximum fine of $5,000 to Oral Roberts head coach Paul Mills and North Dakota State head coach Dave Richmond. Additionally, the league has issued half-game suspensions to Elijah Lafile and Jamie Bergens of Oral Roberts and Grant Nelson and Bowden Scunberg of North Dakota State. All suspensions will be served during the first half of each program's contest on Saturday, February 19th. Obviously, that is tomorrow, or senior day if you are at North Dakota State. The fines are permitted in accordance by league bylaws and will go towards student athlete initiatives specific to diversity and inclusion, as well as mental health awareness. And the NDSU and Oral Roberts issued a joint statement. The events unfolded at the end of our basketball game on February 17th were failures by both programs. To display the Summit Leagues and our expected sportsmanship standards, we apologize and take responsibility for not upholding these values and expectations. Moving forward, we are committed to appropriate and respectful sportsmanlike behavior within competition. The league office will have no further comment on this incident. Nate, I got a big problem with this. Here's my, I guess, after looking over the video, here's my best guess of the situation and kind of what I could see. The team was told not to talk about it and they didn't. I don't have a single source on the team. That's not what, this is about. Nobody opened their mouths when they weren't supposed to. But if you look at what happened, and everybody's kind of aware, I think, at this point, Oral Roberts is down 18, down 20. Now they're pressing and fouling. There's 40 seconds left. There's 30 seconds left, et cetera. Well, Colby Rada, they break the press, and Colby Rada goes and lays it in. Everybody goes nuts. Bench goes nuts. Colby's a hardworking walk-on. Everybody loves the walk-on, scores, et cetera, et cetera. Then Oral Roberts goes down. There's a knee knock. Or no, that I guess wrong order of events. But Des McKinney gets hurt. Rada goes in. He lays it in. Then there's another press break by NDSU. Harden Hayes goes down, dunks the ball right after the time expired to kind of punctuate a big victory, a well-fought victory. And I didn't think there was a lot of chippiness even during the game. I didn't think, anyway. Obviously, it got chippy later, but I, didn't think it was a very chippy game until the end. And then from what I could tell, Richmond and Mills shook hands. And then after the handshake was over, Mills turned around to say something to Richmond, and Dave kind of got like a weird look on his face, like, the hell are you talking about? I wouldn't say I'm reading lips here. I'm kind of just facial expression from Coach. He's like, what the hell are you talking about? Then it got ugly. Scumberg got in between Richmond and Mills clearly said something to Bowden. And Bowden just started antagonizing. I mean, there's no question about it. After whatever Mills said to Bowden, Bowden snapped back at him, and that's when the whole thing started. But it boils down to Mills having the audacity to turn around and say something to Dave, and then the audacity to say something to a player. And this is reaping what he sowed. You don't want to get a runout layup? You've lost the game. If you're down 18, I don't care, Max, great. Max in an empty gym. Max at an empty gym is not scoring 18 points in 22 seconds. It doesn't matter. So you're the problem. You've created the problem. And now you're not able to deal with the consequences of a run out layup. And you're going to say something, and then, you're going to cause a situation which causes your players to get involved with NDSU's players. This thing was Paul Mills' fault. And on top of it being Paul Mills' fault, I'm also sorry, but the most egregious actor from the player standpoint is pretty obvious, and that's Elijah Lufile. And I got nothing against Elijah Lufile. I don't really know much about him. I've never interviewed him. He's never been a huge part of this rivalry, because Max kind of scores all the points, and if it wasn't him, it was O'Banner, and he's just not a huge part of this game, this matchup between the two teams. And he was the one running over teammates, running over equipment carts, running, trying to go really cause harm to somebody. And I get it. Bowden, I guess you could say, was the instigator, but they both sides the hell out of this. And it wasn't equal fault. It wasn't equal blame. I'm not saying Bowden's blameless. I actually am saying Dave is blameless. I think it's complete horseshit that they fined Coach. Flat out, that I don't think Bowden's blameless. Grant got in a nice little shove. Some people called it a left jab. I slowed it down frame by frame. It wasn't a left jab. It was a shove that maybe got a little. Put it this way: Lufile was too close to Nelson at the start of the confrontation for Grant, who is about as long as this studio that I'm currently in, to get a real jab in. I mean, he might have caught him on the lip a little bit when he shoved him, and you could see Lufile bleeding at the end, and that's obviously why Grant has the suspension. But Paul Mills caused this problem. You can say Bowden helped cause this problem, but Dave didn't do anything. It's ridiculous. If I had money, I'd pay his fine. Anyway, Nate, you have thoughts?
Yeah, a couple things. Obviously, there's unwritten rules of basketball, and NDSU clearly put their subs in at the end of that game. Put in a walk-on. You didn't. I don't think any starters were in. And we talked about it. Asemus was still in. McBride was still in. They were still chucking, getting their points late. Obviously, still pressing, which is fine. But the following part didn't make sense to me. But then if you go give up a layup and they break their press, I watched Mills because I knew that he'd be pissed that they shot a layup with 10 seconds left. And I literally didn't even watch the game. I was watching Mills' reaction, and he was literally just staring at Dave. And the play was going on the opposite end, and he still kept his eyes on Dave, which makes me think, like, obviously he had a lot of stuff to say. And I watched their handshake, and it was kind of a, I'm pissed off, good job. And he did that with every player. It got out of hand. I don't know. We weren't close enough to hear anything said. We kind of just saw the scuffle. Obviously, we've seen other videos of it. And it could have been a lot worse, I'll tell you that. If Weaver doesn't grab Lufile, who knows what would have happened there. I mean, he was coming full blast through teammates, and if he doesn't trip after getting grabbed, who knows what could have happened. It's an unfortunate situation. I mean, you can obviously see Bowden's kind of laughing and instigating stuff, and I'm sure he'll obviously he's serving the suspension, but he'll learn from that. And Dave talked about it postgame. It's a learning experience, and I don't think that this program is that type of program. Unfortunately, it seems like Oral Roberts is that type of program with how fiery Mills is as a head coach. As far as the fine goes, I mean, $5,000 fine. I don't know how much Mills signed his extension for. I don't think they released that because they're more of a private school, I believe. But if he's making more than Dave, Dave's getting a higher percentage off his salary than Mills is. And Dave didn't do anything besides probably defend his team a little bit and get him off the floor and out of a scuffle.
Yeah, disappointing. Disappointing decision-making from the league, certainly. Disappointing behavior from Paul Mills, who's supposed to be a grown adult. And, you know, that's something that Jeff Culhane said today on the Insiders. He, you know, obviously people around the league, Jeff knows every play-by-play guy, you know, in the league. He knows a ton of people around the league. Jeff travels with the team. And people see this. It's social media. Like, we're... I debated whether or not to put those videos up on Bias Report, and then I realized, like, this is going to be on ESPN. It's 2022. If I don't put the video up, someone else is going to do it. So we did it because it's news. I mean, that's what we do. We Bias and Report. We report the news, and it was news. That video was not going to stay hidden because we put it up or because we didn't put it up. And, you know, that kind of stuff goes on, and I'm not even saying that folks saw our video specifically, but he kept getting messages from people around the league. Yep, doesn't surprise me with Paul. And it wasn't doesn't surprise me with Dave. It was all doesn't surprise me with Paul. People expect that from a Paul Mills-led program. You know, the thing with Paul is he's the biggest fake tough guy in the league. And you sometimes see that with guys. I don't know what it's about, man, but He's about as fake tough as it gets. And you really have seen that the 2 years, because I'll remember forever the two, you know, championships that NDSU won. People, especially on the Oral Roberts side, you know, you still salty about the championship game. Nate, remind me which head coach ended Paul Mills' season the 2 years before that?
Sioux Falls Dave.
There you go. Oral Roberts' season ended in 19 and in 20 at the hands of David Richmond. And if you can go back and find those press conferences, which I'm not sure if you can or you can't, you probably can't. Mills is a great interview when they win. He is one of the worst people of all time in the media when they lose, especially after their season. It's one-word answers. Smart aleck answers, you know, stuff that where you get coaches that are terrible with the media and they, you know, act towards the media like, oh, you don't know anything about basketball, so I don't even know why I'm, you know, wasting my time with you. That's the kind of crap you get from Paul Mills when they lose. Very gregarious. Loves to wave around that Christian faith when, you know, they're winning and they're making a Sweet 16 run and he's being good Paul Mills. When they take the L, he's not a great person to be around. Not a great leader. Not a great representative of Roberts University. Period.
And the problem is players react and act how their coach does a lot of the time. I mean, obviously, they all have different personalities, but it's your players are going to react to how the man in charge acts. And that's why you see Bison players. No NDSU player was going to throw a punch last night. Are they going to defend themselves? Yeah. You got ORU players running through and pointing and running through guys trying to literally fight last night.
I believe that's remember the Titans quote, attitude reflect leadership. And that's what we saw last night. Attitude reflects leadership. Big Julius. Shout out Gary Bertier. Shout out Friday Night Lights. All right, let's get to these fan questions and then we'll bring on Tim Hill. Because they're all related to this. So, you know, there you go. We're just going to get to this now. Let's see. First one. Mercy. I thought I had it. Here we go. Eric. Should Lafile be suspended for more than a half game? I mean, yes. To me, like I said, Lafile, and great, like, I got nothing against him. I could be a great kid. You know, might be the nicest young man in the world. He was the clearly the most violent actor from this. I mean, do you have a different take on that? Like, I don't understand why they felt they needed to just dole out the exact same punishment to all players in both schools.
Like I said, we didn't really see what was said or who was really doing the pushing too much. Lafile didn't, after he charged through everybody and kind of fell to the ground, he didn't really throw any punches or push anyone there. Luckily, he got grabbed. I don't know if he was the, I didn't see if he was the instigator. It doesn't seem like equal punishment to two guys on each team, just to kind of make it seem like it was an equal type thing. Just, it doesn't make sense. The Bergens kid, I mean, he played 1 minute in the game and I'm guessing it was mop up time. The half game suspensions are just weird. I mean, it's just weird. You don't ever hear about a half game suspension. I'm guessing because we're at the heat of the conference race. Both teams are in this race for this two seed, and you didn't want to ruin that, but you had to lay some type of precedent down that this stuff won't be tolerated. Fine and dandy, but you literally have video of Lafile charging after a whole team and staff and administrators trying to break it up.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. I was telling a player after the game, you know, I've been around my whole life, really been paying attention, you know, kind of as a fan since 06, 07, 09, you know, those first Division I years, and been covering the team since 14. So there's a depth and a breadth to my Bison basketball knowledge and experience that, you know, aren't matched by a lot. And I never seen anything like that. I mean, truly, I've never seen anything like that. And you'll see pushing and shoving, you'll see hard fouls. You know, I'll never forget Gino Crandall skipping off the Shaq floor, yelling that Fargo was his city. there's a lot of stuff that goes on, both pro Bison and anti Bison, but man, nothing that I've seen that's quite like this. Crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. Okay, next question is from Justin Nelson. How will suspensions affect the rotation first half tomorrow? Nelson and Bowden are out, possibly Dez with an injury. Got to think Coleman may be asked to play some minutes. I have been notified by a source within, around the program that, you know, and Dave kind of said this, it looked like a knee knocked a knee. So I followed up. I got some confirmation that Dez is likely going to be okay. Now, whether it's ready to play in 48 hours, okay, I don't know. Because it was a bone bruise, like Grant had to sit out 2 weeks. And 2 weeks would be the whole season, but the word that was used was fine. He is fine. So he might be available. That said, I mean, it has been neck and neck minutes wise, but the backup point guard, you know, role isn't a very big one. And it was neck and neck ish with Willie Guy. And if you want to give Sam a 4 minute break or a 3 minute break in the first half, just have Coleman run the point. You know, unless UMKC is going to dog the ball 94 feet, they'll just have Coleman run the point. You know, you'll be able to survive that limited time that, you know, Griesel isn't on the floor. It wasn't a huge, like, Dez didn't have a huge role to begin with. So that's not a huge deal. The Nelson thing's interesting. You know, obviously, you know, Grant being the guy that generally either started the game or came off the bench for Bowden. Well, now you don't have Bowden or Grant. So I would guess your starting lineup's going to be a senior day lineup of, you know, the normal starters minus Grant slash Bowden plus Coleman. But I don't know how many minutes Coleman is going to play. So who's the guy on the team that can stretch from position two to position four? Malik Harden-Hayes. I think you're going to see 10, 11, 12, 13 first half minutes from Malik and really be able to bridge, you know, kind of that minute or the lack of depth. Plus Andrew Morgan. I think you're going to see a ton of Andrew Morgan. You might even see some Rocky and Morgan, because if they do want to go a two big lineup, well, they still have the two bigs. Just got to hope neither one of them gets in foul trouble. We're going to go one last question and then we'll get Tim Hill here. Here's the last one from Cody Chathams. And this is what we've been talking about the whole time, right? Does equal punishments across the board equate with how things went down last night? Seemed like the instigators are getting off light and minimal to no investigation for the summit. That's where we're at. That was our take is, above and beyond anything, I cannot believe they fined Richmond. That's my take on it. I know Nate, I mean, we've been through it. Nate agrees. You could call Bowden an instigator. That's fine. But I thought Lufile deserved the most of any of the players. Certainly, Bowden didn't touch anybody. He just clapped at Paul Mills. And while that is not very sportsmanlike, he just clapped at someone's general direction. So to equate that with running over your team's video equipment and a teammate and needing to get tackled before you murder Grant Nelson in cold blood, I'm not sure those two things are the same. With that said, the most egregious thing to me is the fine for Dave. That it's just absolutely you know, beyond me. Tim, are you able to unmute?
Yeah, can you guys hear me? Can you hear me all right?
We can.
Okay, perfect.
All right, we've got Tim Hill. Tim from the Reaching the Summit Media Group, from the Reaching the Summit podcast. I kind of explained your credentials, but go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience.
Yeah, Tim Hill here. I'm one of the contributors at Reaching the Summit. My main focus normally is Oral Roberts, so really kind of got a good background on those guys. This year's been a little different now with St. Thomas in the league. I live in Minneapolis, work in St. Paul, so I've been to more Summit League games at Schoenecker Arena, or however you pronounce it, this year than I have in all of Summit League in the last 5 years. So it's been awesome to have a team up here.
We're going to
watch it, everybody. But yeah, I used to work for Coach Nagy back in the day at SDSU. I got a great heartbreaking story about your man, Nate Zastro, here. Involves a ball getting stuck between a rim and a backboard on a free throw.
And I remember that.
So ever since you know, my time at SDSU, I've just been a diehard Summit League fan.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're gonna have to have a conversation about parking as it relates to Schoenecker Arena, because I did not enjoy my experience and it was cold that night.
It really was. There's a hidden parking lot that I was privy to. That's the only reason.
See, it's all about who you know.
It really is.
It's all about who you know. All right. I guess, you know, we haven't broken down the game yet, and we'll probably let you go, you know, when we do that, or you can stick around. I guess it's completely up to you.
I love talking hoops. So.
Sure. We'll keep you on then. So we haven't broken the game down at all. We have just broken down the what happened. And so we wanted to get your take, just from an Oral Roberts side. And look, we're obviously a little bit more pro NDSU than you are pro ORU. I mean, you're a very unbiased Oral Roberts observer. No one's going to confuse me for that. No one's certainly going to confuse Mr. Zastro for that on the North Dakota State side. But what you've been following along, you know, with this team all year. I guess first, what were your initial reactions when you started to see the videos on social, or maybe you were watching live? I don't know what your first thing was.
So I was watching the game live, and all my reactions that you may have seen on Twitter were literally me of just playing the video back. I probably rewatched it 5-6 times to see, like, how did we get here? This, like, what the hell happened? I got to be careful because I have friends on both sides, so I don't want anybody, like, getting mad at me.
You're going to both sides it like the Summit League did.
I know. I really feel that's really what the punishment was. They're like, we don't want to play favorites, so equal to everybody. And it's like, I don't know if that's really the right way to go about it. But, you know, I'm not the boss of the league. But, you know, I think, yeah, it's weird. Dave calls the dogs off at what? Little over a minute to go in the game.
Buck 18, I think. Yeah, like a buck 18.
Yeah, something like that. And I know that Mills likes to play Max, some of his guys, all game. Like, Max probably leads the league leads the country probably in the last 2 years of most 40-minute games played. Like, he just never comes out. But at that time, as a basketball fan, I'm thinking, why the hell is Max still in this game? It's over. Don't risk him getting hurt.
He got five late to help his average.
Yeah. Like, it didn't make sense. And, like, and then they start pressing. I'm like, you're about 5-10 minutes too late for this. It was a pretty close game. And then Bison went on that 14-2 run. Obviously, we can get to that later. But, like, it just didn't make sense. It was just kind of dumb. Call the dogs off, live to fight another day. And then, like, Nate, you've played at this level. There's a lot of emotions in games like that when it gets chippy. If you don't want anyone scoring on you, don't press at the end. Just, like, call it a day. You know, run it out, whatever. You know, no one's hurt. Everything's good, you know, whatever. They go through the handshake, and I watched that part again today. And literally everything seemed good. Even as they did the original handshake, the cameras didn't have – it on the original kerfuffle, but I don't know if, like, Dave and Paul crossed paths again or what. I don't know if you were there in person, but I don't know if they crossed paths again.
Yeah, Nate and I were both there in person. My understanding basically of what happened from kind of what I remember and certainly then from watching the video is, I'm not going to call it cordial, but there was the normal initial handshake, right?
Right.
And then they blow by each other to shake hands with players. Right. Well, I don't know what the hell happened, but then Paul took it upon himself to turn around and say something else to Dave post handshake.
Yeah.
Well, then Bowden happened to be physically in between the two of them, which is just not the right player to be in between two coaches jaw-jacking each other. And so Mills then says something to Skumberg. And Bowden starts smiling and clapping in his face. And Skumberg was just the exact wrong player for that moment.
Yeah. So it looked like, you know, as the kerfuffle happens, it looks like they got broken up. And then Bowden and Paul keep chirping and they, like, kind of bump into each other. And Bowden's still doing the, you know, it's like, oh my God, what's going on? Whatever. They start, you know, then that, I mean, everybody's just chirping and getting after it. It's like, yeah, you know, everybody gets their ass whooped every once in a while. Just, like, call it a day.
Especially on the road. And that's,
like,
the thing.
We're on the road. We're almost to Sioux Falls. Like, what? And then Mills gets fired up because he's got Bowden clapping in his face. Things get back into it. And then that's when the scrum, I had to rewatch it a couple of times because I saw Lufili come out with a bloody lip. I had no idea how he got that. And then that's when I saw, like, I don't know if it was just like an instant reaction from Grant or what, but it looked like somehow he extended his arm. I don't know if it was, you know, intentional or not, but it did look like he hit Lufili. And then so they get they
and then immediately Lufili was out for blood.
Yeah. So they like and then that's when shit really went down.
For sure.
And so they get them separated. And by the way, I can't reiterate this enough. Shout out, big shout out to Tyree Edie and DeShang Weaver. Like yeah. Those were the two calmest heads of that entire situation. And if you rewatch it, it looks like so like Edie's holding Lufili with assistance of I think Juergens and Lossis maybe.
Because I've described that kid.
It takes three
he's WWE big. Like he's 6'7", boulder shoulders, huge arms. He needs to give Vince McMahon a call when he's done hooping because he's that dude.
When they came up and played St. Thomas, it was just like, oh, this ain't fair.
I can't imagine Bjorklund enjoyed that a ton.
Like, oh yeah, and he played a lot in that game too. And so you know, you got three grown ass big men. You know. No disrespect, Nate. I'm a small guy too, but I mean, it's not like you got three Nate Zastros there holding him back.
Yeah,
it's three big grown ass men, and it looked like Tyree was the one kind of talking to him, and it looked like he might have been kind of calm, and they let him go. And I don't know if maybe he just saw, you know, I don't know what's going on the other end because you can't really see where the Bison players are at this point, but. I don't know if Bowden and Grant were still chirping or if it was just a fact that he saw them, but I wonder if he was calm and then saw them and then it just triggered him again. He takes off and then Weaver just makes the tackle of the lifetime to save what would have made the malice in the palace, you know?
Yeah. Right.
It looked like they were, like he got calm, like you said, and they kind of just let him go, and he saw an opening, and he was
gonna he was going.
Him, yeah. Oh.
Thank God for the video equipment too. Slowed him down.
And I feel bad and like kind of teasing him, but Russ Springman, one of the ORU assistants, he looked like a guy in like Italy at the bullfighting as the guy with the cape. He like gets in front of Lufili, gets his hands out, and then realizes, I ain't stopping him. he gets out of the way. And, I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to witness a person die tonight. Because, like, I don't think it's his initial, like, personality, but you get a guy that big, that heated. Oh, God.
So,
but yeah, it was crazy.
I'm going to put you in a tough spot here. Okay. And if you no comment me, that's fine. I get it. So, you know, Jeff Calhane, who's NDSU's play-by-play guy, great dude, you know, one of my very, very good friends, mentions that, look, he knows all the play-by-play guys from around the world, knows all the sports information directors from around the league. It's part of the job.
Yep.
And when you see videos like this circulating around social media, you're going to start hearing from assistant coaches, play-by-play guys, and sports information guys from around the league. And he said,
after it.
a ton of them said, it's no surprise with Paul Mills. You cover this team every day. That is his, and Paul, and Jeff said, I would say this right to Paul's face. And he said this on radio, and it's available for, I mean, he was not hiding from this at all. It's available for streaming. It was said over the air, whatever, that a number of people from around the league said, yep, that's Paul Mills. And I understand you cover the team every day. I get it. But my question to you is, I mean, what have you seen from an antagonist perspective, from other coaches maybe not loving this guy perspective? What's your Paul Mills experience, I guess?
My personal experience, and I've met him once before, and he was super nice and kind to me, just real gracious talk. It was after the St. Thomas game when they're up here in the cities, and I've gotten to know Sam Patterson really well over the last year covering them, and so he and I have become friends. And so he took me back to the locker room, and that's how I got to meet Coach Mills. And so he was real nice to me, and I know he's definitely a very fiery guy, and you know he's a very small guy, and us small guys we get hate for being fiery. And but you know I've heard the rumors, you know, so that you know he can be that type of guy that can get under people's skin. I personally haven't experienced it myself, but you know I've seen some things in games. But I will say I found it pretty silly that Dave got the same. And like I said, I've got friends on both sides, and so I'm trying to be like devil's advocate. And but I thought it was pretty silly that Dave, I know Dave, that you know he's not gonna do shit like that. That's not his MO. Nate, you played for him, obviously. That's just not his style. And for him to get a fine equal, where you know Paul was pretty fired up, he's pretty upset. You know, that happens, you know, you get upset for getting whooped on the road like that. But at the same time, it's Ross, we were kind of talking in the DMs earlier, like it's kind of hard to defend when, you know, you're still pressing and then you get mad when the opponents score.
Because we've like, seen it 1,000 times, yeah. Like Dave will absolutely call off the dogs. They will swing the ball around the 3-point line, someone will take a bad shot as time expires that will probably miss, and they'll go down and defend you, and they'll do that just until it's over and you'll shake hands and the game will be over. Like they'll go and dribble it around some. I mean, if they're up huge, so they might even get someone to just take a 24 and just move on with their day.
And like, just back to the handshake. Yeah. Okay. That happens. All right. Whatever. But if you watch the handshake, like everybody's cool. Yeah. You know, or Roberts, they're not feeling real great about things.
Right, they just got waxed. Yep.
But everybody seems to be, all right, game's over. You got us. You know, whatever. And I think it would have been fine if Paul had not, you know, got it going again. And, you know, again, you know, I hate to you know, it's one thing if we're talking about Denver and I've never met those guys, you know.
No, I'm here to put you in uncomfortable situations. That was my goal when I, got, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's just the way I saw it. I feel bad. Grant's sister is really tweeted at me today. She's really pissed after I tweeted at you. I'm not choosing sides. I replayed this 6-7 times. Like, yeah. This is,
and then I slowed it down frame by frame and sent it back to you. I mean, we're getting real CSI into this 100%.
Yeah, like there was contact, whether intentional, unintentional, there was contact between Grant and in Elijah that caused the bloody lip. Whether it was intentional or intentional, I'm not gonna be one to say yes or no.
Sure.
Because like I don't know these kids, but I know Dave, and that's not what he like. When we were watching it, all that's reaching the summit, like Brandon Geffrey, I think you know him, or at least maybe casually through social media. We were joking like, oh, Dave is gonna be pissed with Bowden tomorrow. You know, just because, you know, that's not what he wants to see from his guys, that kind of stuff. And so, like, yeah, it was just weird, and you hate to see it, especially, you know, it would have been really, you know, I don't really know how you punish, because there's never been a precedent like this before. There is no precedent to go off of in our league, but yeah, it would have been, I definitely would have been really upset had nothing happened to Coach Mills and like Elijah and Grant are done for the season.
You know? for sure.
Like that would have been like, oh, you definitely got this one wrong.
Yeah.
And again, this is just like being devil's advocate, watching what happened, taking biases out of it. is how I try to break it down. And that's what I saw personally.
Yeah, and honestly too, I mean, I don't think they got it right, but they could have got it more wrong, which is, I mean, what you're talking about, you know, they could have got it more wrong. They could have screwed up worse. And I think this was just more of a, okay, slap on the wrist, moving on, you know.
Moving on. Yeah.
Anyway, let's get a little bit into the game. You know, we want to get this out probably by 5:15. We're going to start losing people on a Friday afternoon. on court, let's talk about what you saw from Edie and Skunberg defensively, because I thought that defined the game. I mean, they gave Greece, look, Sam was cooking, especially in the second half, but I thought the game was defined by the Bison making Max score 21 points on 25 shots and having Skunberg and Edie handle that.
And we talked about that on our Reaching the Summit. We do like a live spaces on occasion, like a pregame, and record it. We had some technical difficulties, which is funny considering we had some here today. But we talked about that. It's like Max is going to go for 20-25. How he gets there is going to be the key when you're playing Oral Roberts. Does he get there taking 12-13 shots, or does he get there taking, what, 26-27?
Yeah, or does he get to 35 shooting 18 shots?
Yeah, exactly.
Then you have a real problem.
And I thought, I really thought NDSU came in better energy and a better plan, frankly. You know, it was obvious early on that they were going to do a rotation to keep legs fresh, to say, Tyree, you got him to start the game. Bowden, you're going in, and your job is just to let him not get open looks. And then really the only reason ORU kind of came back in the first half, because it looked like it was going to be a blowout, because Sam and Rocky were just, I mean, they were just banging home threes at the start there, or at least Rocky was. But it looked like you guys were going to take it a significant lead into half, and then they finally got some mismatches where Max was Max and went off. On, you know, he went from like 2 to 12 points in a minute, and because that's what he's capable of, and you know, so all right, we got a game going into halftime. We got a game. It was looking like it was going to be ugly, you know. From my view, kind of trying to be non-biased, I just want to see a game, a good game, and I don't want to see a blowout, especially with something that has such major implications on it as last night's game did, and. Yeah, second half, it was kind of a little bit more of the same of the first half to start. Like, NDSU would build the lead, but they could never quite get to 10-point lead, like a double-digit lead. And then, or you would come back, but they could never get it within a one-possession game. And then, but really, they took everyone out of the game. You know, one thing that Oral Roberts has really struggled with this year, I mean, obviously it was going to be difficult to fill his shoes with Kevin O'Banner going out, but watching them closely transferring to Texas Tech. But one thing that made them go on their run last year was they simplified their offense. And all they mostly for what they did when they started that run, you know, maybe a month out from Sioux Falls, through Sioux Falls into the NCAA tournament, is just ran a basic ball screen action.
Pick and pop.
And it was like, how do you guard that? Because you got two guys that can score anywhere. And then even if you kind of control them, Kareem or Carlos or DeShang would usually be wide open for a three if they kicked it out. And it just – and that makes playing defense easier, because I'm a big proponent that if you can run – defense doesn't have to be complicated. If you run a very efficient offense and you don't have to get back in transition all the time, you can just get back, get set. Like, it just makes a whole game easier. And that's what worked for them last year. This year, Max is hurt to start the year. He broke a bone in his foot. And so he struggled to start the year. And, you know, obviously he knew it was going to take them some time to figure it out. But they have just not really found a real solution to find in that man. They played well, but they haven't been what they were last year. And the big key that I've thought is, you know, Elijah Lufili, ironically, is when he gets in the game, they kind of do a four out, one in. And when he's not in the game, they get kind of stagnant five out. There's no ball screens. There's no handoffs. There's no motion. It's just stagnant. Everybody's standing out on the three waiting for Max to make some magic. And I think you saw a lot of that last night. They didn't dump it into the post that much. They didn't screen with Lufile. Obviously, Max and McBride played well, which McBride's going to be hell of a player in this league if he stays, because he has a history of transferring.
History of not staying.
Yeah. But I just thought NDSU came in with a more set game plan, stuck to the game plan, did a great job rotating on Max. His spurts were occasionally when they got mismatches and he could pull a defender out, way out, and drive on him or pop a three on when maybe Rocky or one of the other bigs would switch off onto him and didn't want to guard him closely for fear of him driving. But yeah, overall, I just thought NDSU was better in all aspects of that game last night.
Yeah, hard to disagree, and I think your diagnosis of Oral's issues are pretty good. Was pretty good because, yeah, I mean they found, in my opinion, they found
Oral issues.
Yeah, in my opinion, they found a better secondary scorer than they even had last year in Isaac McBride. And I could be biased just from watching him go off last night, but as far as someone who can actually handle the ball and create for himself, they didn't have him. You know, a guy like him last year.
No.
But what they did have was Kevin. And KO ruined Sam Griesel and Rocky Cruiser in the first half and ultimately built, as we saw in the Summit League Championship game, a lead that was 2 points too big. And, you know, I think they got to 19, and if it would have only been 17, NDSU might have been in the Sweet 16. Probably not, but it's fun to think about.
Oh, absolutely. SDSU loses on a buzzer beater putback by Kevin. I mean, right. That's how crazy the league is.
For sure. And that's kind of the point is he was special and he gave Baylor the business. I mean, he's a real basketball player. Well, we're getting to be close to that 50-minute mark. We're getting to be close to the point where I want to try and get this out before everybody heads home for the weekend. We've lost Nate. Nate's gone. So there won't be
that free throw story.
Yeah. There won't be a free throw story. There won't, unfortunately, be a UMKC preview, though we already did that earlier on in the week. But hey, Tim, man, thanks for coming on. We'll have to do this again.
Oh, absolutely. It was fun chatting with you throughout the day. I love talking hoops, so anytime.
For sure. All right, thanks to Big Deck Barbecue Company. Thank you so much to our title sponsor for basketball podcasts, the good folks with the good food up at Herd and Horns. Thank you all for listening. Have a phenomenal weekend, and go Bison.